This morning, I want to mention a little bit about student ministries. And when God called me, he worked on me for a while. It was several years, but God called me, and me and him were talking one day, and I told him, I said, God, you've got to give me a passage of scripture that I can hold on to. That when times got tough and things got hard, I had to go back to this passage of scripture knowing that you were with me. And he gave me Matthew 5:16. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father who is in heaven. And that is what I've tried to do the whole time that I've been in student ministries. And it never fails. Any time when I'm in a gathering of people, whether it's at an event, a social event, or somewhere else, like in a church or wherever, speaking at a seminar or something like that, people will come up and they'll ask me three questions. First question is what do you do? My response is, I have a ministry called Student Ministries. I work with 6th through 12th graders in the local public schools. Second question I'm asked is, what's your real job? And I tell them, my real job is Student Ministries. I am in seven schools, three high schools, four middle schools, and in the afternoons, I go wherever the students are after they get finished, whether that's at a sporting event, a dance recital, wherever the students are, I'm there. And so the third question that I'm asked is, how do you get paid? I live on faith. Before I had a need, God had the supply. Yes, Student Ministries is a 501c3, but we have always lived on faith. And their response is, well, that's stupid and that's crazy and it'll never work. And I look at them now and I go, well, I've been doing it for 25 years and God hadn't let me down yet. And that takes care of that. I want us this morning, if you will, if you've got your Bible or your pew Bible, I want you to go to Matthew chapter 9. And the question I want to ask is, what's in your backyard? Think about that. But go to Matthew chapter 9. And we're going to look at 35 through 38. But before I get to 35 through 38, I've got to go back and explain. And if you'll look at about 14, chapter 9, verse 14, John's followers and the Pharisees come up to Jesus. And they're talking, they want to know why they fast and Jesus' followers don't fast. And so Jesus answers that question, and no sooner had he had gotten through talking to them, this local official comes up to Jesus, he bows, he says, Jesus, my daughter has died, and I just need you to come touch her so that she will live. And so Jesus says, okay, and he starts walking with the man. And he's got his disciples and his followers with him. And this woman comes up while they're walking to the official's house to see the daughter. And this woman slips up behind Jesus, and all she wants to do is touch his robe because she's been bleeding for 12 years. And she just knows that if she can touch Jesus' robe, she'll be healed. Well, Jesus turned and he caught her. And he asked the woman, he said, your faith, or he told the woman, he said, your faith will make you well. And the woman was well. And then they got, if you look on down, this is Flynn Bridges' version, okay? But if you look on down, then they get to the local official's house, and there's a whole bunch of people there. Just like when we have a funeral or someone has died, we go to their house, we take casseroles and food, and everybody was there showing sympathy for the people or the family that was there, and the followers were there. And Jesus said, y'all get out of here. This girl is not dead. Y'all get out of here. So Jesus went in. He took the girl and lifted her up, stood her on her feet and said, you're alive. And he brought her out and showed her to the parents. Well, as soon as he got finished with that, Jesus left that house and he started walking to where he was going to stay. And two blind men come up and they come up and they say, mercy, mercy, son of David, have grace on us. And they kept walking with Jesus and they kept, mercy, mercy, have grace on us. And when Jesus got to where he was staying, he told the disciples, or he told the two men, he said, y'all come in here with me. And so they went into the house, and Jesus said, do you really believe that I can heal you? And they said, yes. And he said, okay, you are what you believe. And immediately the two men could see, and they left. Well, about the time they left, the people came up that were following Jesus, that were outside his home, and they brought in this man that had been stricken by an evil spirit that left him speechless. And Jesus healed him, and everybody applauded, and it was great. Then we get to verse 35 and 30 through 38. And Jesus was going around to the towns and the villages, and he was healing the sick and the diseased and the hurt. And all of a sudden, y'all, Jesus looked out. And he said, with a broken heart, so many confused and aimless, they are a sheep without a shepherd. What a huge harvest. How few the workers. And he immediately told the disciples that they needed to pray. They needed to pray. And no sooner had they prayed, he named the 12 disciples. And after he had named the 12 disciples, and he called them harvest hands. I love that. He called them harvest hands. And I'm reading in the Message, okay? But if you will look, there you go. If you'll look at beginning in verse 5, Jesus sent out the 12 harvest hands. And this was the charge that he gave them. Don't begin by traveling to some far off place to convert unbelievers. And don't try to be dramatic by tackling some public enemy. Go to the lost, confused people right here in the neighborhood. Tell them that the kingdom is here. Bring health to the sick, raise the dead, touch the untouchable, kick out the demons. You've been treated generously, so live generously. Don't think you have to put on a fundraising campaign before you start. You don't need a lot of equipment. You are the equipment. And all you need to keep going is three meals a day, travel light. I love that, y'all. I love that. I want to tell y'all about my mission field. And I like to tell everybody when they ask me, what do? I say I'm a missionary in my own backyard. I'm a missionary in my own backyard. My mission field, let me tell you where it is. I'm 200 miles south of Atlanta. I'm 100 miles north of Tallahassee. I'm 50 miles west of Tifton. And I'm 85 miles east of Columbus. There's 93,310 people in Daugherty County. There's 14,946 students in Daugherty County school system. 89% are black, 6% are white. 100% of all students in Daugherty County school system eat free breakfast and lunch. 42% of the children in Daugherty County school system live below the poverty level. For a family of four, that is $24,250 a year or less. 33% live in single family households. 45% of the people in Daugherty County, 25 years and older, never graduated from high school. 65% of student families in Daugherty County school system receive some type of government assistance. When I go around into the schools, whether it's the lunchroom or whether it's a sporting event or practice or whatever, my main goal, my main objective, number one, is when I leave my house, I say, God, don't let me miss an opportunity. But the second thing is I want those students that I come in contact with and I build relationships with, I want them to know four things. There are four needs that every young person has to have or needs in their life. Number one, God loves you. God loves you. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The second thing that I want them to know is that they're sinners, that they are a sinner. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The third thing I want them to know is Jesus Christ died for them. Romans 5:8 says that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. If you were the only person on this world, in this world, God would have had to have sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die for you. He died for me. And the fourth thing, you can know that Jesus loves you, and you can know that you're a sinner, and you can know that Jesus died for you. But the fourth thing is the most important thing that I want these students to know. It is your decision. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, Jesus is speaking and he says, here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me. If somebody knocked on that back door, everybody in this room would have to make the decision of whether they would open that door. That's the same thing Jesus is saying. One day he's going to knock on your heart if he hasn't already. He's going to knock on your heart and he's going to say, can I come in? And it's up to you to open your heart and ask him to come in and be your Lord and Savior. I want to ask you a quick question. Biff, you don't count, okay? But observe. How many of you were in church last Sunday? Hurry now. Keep your hands up and we're in church, so don't. This is the honor system. Okay, how many of you can tell me the title of the sermon or the scripture text? Y'all don't count. Y'all were here. Okay, I love asking that question. When I go into a school at a lunchroom and a student asks me who I am or what I'm doing there, I say, my name is Flynn. I have a ministry called Student Ministries. I go around and build relationships with young people and introduce them to Jesus Christ and try to get them involved in a local church. What's their response? Oh, I go to church. And I said, oh, great. Well, did you go to church Sunday? And if they say yes, then I'll say, okay, tell me this. What was the title of the sermon or what was the scripture text? If those students know it, I'm sitting at a table, y'all, with 6 to 8 people, students. That one student is sharing scripture or either the outline of their pastor's sermon for that last Sunday. Now, granted, it's during the week, and I gave y'all 7 days where they only probably have, you know, no more than 5. But that student is sitting there sharing with their peers, and all I did was ask a question. Okay, let's turn it around. If they say, I don't know, then I look at that young person, and I said, look, why do you go to church? Why does a young person go to church? Come on. Because their parents made me. I said, okay, if your parents made you go to church, then why not get something out of it? If you've got to sit 2 hours, Sunday school and church, on a Sunday, then why not get something out of it and pay attention? You might learn something. And you might come to realize that Jesus loves you. And so it's either way, I can work the conversation in my favor. Did you catch that, Biff? Okay. All right. I want to share with you. One day I was at Monroe. I'm going to tell you what schools I was at. I was at Monroe. And they have like 4 or 5 lines. You get in and the lunchroom is behind me. And you got all these lines. And I'm walking around. And this one young lady comes up to me and she goes, why are you the way you are? And I said, excuse me? And she said, why are you the way you are? I looked at her and I shook my head and I said, I'm not sure I understand what you're asking. You're going to have to ask that in a different way. And she goes, you come to school all the time. You're so nice. You speak to everybody. You're always smiling at us. And you want us to know that Jesus loves us. You're always telling us that Jesus loves us. And I said, well, I think that's the most important thing that you'll ever hear is that Jesus loves you. And I said, do you know how much Jesus loves you? And she looked at me and came right back at me. And she said, Jesus loved me so much he died for me. I said, you got it. I said, that's why I'm here. It's in the fall, I was at a football practice after school, and I'm going to say it was a Thursday. I don't remember what day it was, but they have girls as trainers or water girls or go-getters or whatever the football team needs. They have young ladies that are at the school. There were two girls talking, and they were on the track while the football players were practicing. One girl had like an air horn that would go off at certain times. The coaches told, you know, they were supposed to practice at different times for a certain amount of time, and she'd blow the horn, one of those air horns. And so I'm sitting there talking to them. And as I'm talking to them, and y'all, I should have known their names, but I didn't. It was one of those, I know your face, but I don't. And this girl had happened to come over from Albany High to Darty when they closed Albany High. And she had on a gold necklace. And right here, the gold chain connected, and it had the word Noah. N-O-A-H, Noah. God, don't let me miss an opportunity. And I said, that sure is a pretty necklace you've got on. Why do you have Noah written there? And I was cutting up with her, and I was like, is that honey bun? Is that sugar pie? And she goes, no, that's my name. And she told me her whole name. And I said, well, that's a very unusual name for a girl. And I said, how did you get that name? And she came back met me, and she said, my mama named me Noah after the first woman in the Bible who received an inheritance from God. And I looked at her and I said, Noah, I'm familiar with Noah and the ark. You know, he built that big old boat at the flood, and the other girl and I started talking about that because I was trying to, you know. And she said, no, my mama named me. And I said, well, where is that in the Bible? And she goes, I don't know. And I said, Noah, I said, I'm just having a hard time struggling with this. I said, I really don't think, I was trying to be as nice as I could, y'all. And I said, I really don't think there is a woman in the Bible named Noah. And I said, but I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to go home, and I'm supposed to be at lunch on Tuesday following week. And I said, you make sure you find me, and I'm going to find out what this is about. So I go home, and as soon as I got home, I pulled out my Bible. Y'all, all I'm going to say is Numbers 27. Numbers chapter 27. This man had a name about that long that I'm not even going to try to pronounce that starts with a Z. He had five daughters. And in the Old Testament, you know, the first son got all the inheritance. Well, this guy had five daughters, and none of them were married. And he died out in some desert. And so the family went to Moses and the priest in the tabernacle and asked Moses to go to God and ask God for if it would be okay for them to give their father's inheritance to the five daughters. And Moses went to God, and God said, yeah, I like that. That's okay, do it. Guess what one of the daughters' names was? I had my phone, pulled up my YouVerse app, went and showed it to Noah and said, I am so sorry. I did not know this. You have taught me something in the Bible. She grabbed my cell phone and went to all of her friends in the lunchroom and showed them her name in the Bible. And then finally, after lunch, she brought my cell phone back. I wasn't sure if I was going to get it back or not, but she did. Have I got time for one more story or no? Okay, y'all hold on. Y'all hold on. Are y'all okay? Are we okay? I was having a terrible, no good, very bad day. Very bad week. Very bad month. And I don't remember, this has been a little bit back, but I really want to share this story. I went back. I was in my office, and I was having a pity party. My office is in my home. And I was having my quiet time. I go to lunch anywhere between 10:30 and 11, and then I'm there till 1 or 1:30 every day. Okay, I'm in a different school. And y'all, I let God have it. I mean, I was going to schools. I was sharing Christ. I was doing everything I knew to do and everything that God had called me and led me to do. And I was so frustrated. Y'all, I live on faith. Money's one of the hardest things that I have to deal with or that I stress out, and my anxiety level is the highest on. It's finances. God wasn't providing. I let Him have it. I grabbed my Bible and I started reading every red letter that was in the Bible to Him, and I was telling Him everything that He said that He had forgotten about, because He sure wasn't living it with me. I came this close to cussing Him out. I mean, me and God were having a conversation, and I was doing all the talking. Came time for me to go. I didn't cuss Him out because I was afraid He was going to strike me dead. But I came close. It was time for me to go to school. I was going to a high school. And the only reason I went was because I had a responsibility to my board members, and I knew that I didn't have nothing else to do, and I was just going through the routine. Okay? I get to school, first lunch. There's three lunches. I get to school the first lunch. I'm walking around, hey, how are y'all? Good to see you. How's your week going? I mean, I'm doing it. Not anything. Not a hey, how you doing? Nothing. Nobody talking to me. Everybody was ignoring me. They were busy with their own friends. And I'm thinking, God, I'm wasting my time. I know my attitude sucks right now, but I am wasting my time. I got through first lunch, and I thought, okay, two more lunches, I can do this. Second lunch, same thing. Going around. I mean, I was trying to be jovial. Nobody asked me to sit down with them. Nobody wanted to talk to me. I mean, it was terrible. In the second lunch, I thought, I played this game. I've been the fake. I'm leaving. I'm getting out of here. And y'all, I was in that corner. And the lunchroom door that I had to go through was that one. Well, I start going through the lunchroom, leaving. I'm going home. Forget third lunch. Well, about that time, the bell rang. So what you have is 400 students in here and 400 students out there, and they're doing this. And I'm in that crowd trying to fight my way through that crowd. And I almost get to the door so I can get in my car and go home. And this young man comes up to me and he goes, hey, are you the guy that goes around to the schools and talks to people about Jesus? Oh, man. And I was like, well, yeah. Can I talk to you? I said, sure. I said, get your lunch. I said, where are you going to sit? He goes, I'm going to sit right over there. I said, okay, well, I'll go sit at the table. You get your lunch, because I'm not allowed to, you know, keep him out of school or anything. And I said, I'll wait on you. Well, he came over. And y'all, I'm not kidding. This guy had a children's Bible with him, with his books. His Bible had more pictures in it than it did had words. Okay? It was a children's Bible. And I said, what do you want to talk about? And he goes, well, he said, I just wanted to share with you, I've always gone to church with my grandmother. She always wants me to go to church with her, and I always have gone. But this past Sunday, when they had a hymn of invitation, I walked the aisle and asked Jesus Christ to come and live in my heart and be my Lord and Savior. And I was like, dude, that is awesome. Tell me about it. Because I'm stupid. I don't know nothing. How you accept Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. And so I'm like, tell me about it. So he told me about asking Christ to come and live in his heart. And I said, well, can I ask you some questions? And I took his Bible and I turned to John 3:16. And I said, read this verse for me. Tell me what that says. And he read it and he said, God loves me so much that he sent his son to die. I mean, he told me. And then I went to Romans 3:23. And then I went to Romans 5:8. And then I went to Revelations 3:20. And he went through all. And I said, well, where does Jesus live? He goes, he lives in my heart. I said, man, that's awesome. The bell rings. So he has to go. I gave him my card. I asked him, I said, man, I want to bring you a Bible. I carry Bibles in my car, and they're student Bibles. And I said, I want to, but I didn't have one in my car at that time. And I said, I want to bring you a Bible. Is that okay? And he said, sure. Man, I said, it's a Bible I think you'll enjoy a lot more than this one. And but I said, you know, you just hang on to different Bibles. And so I brought him a Bible the next time I came. But he goes, Mr. Flynn, can I tell you something? And I said, sure. And he looked at me and he said, Mr. Flynn, we have a lot of adults that come and say that they want to help us. And they'll come around for a few times, and then we don't see them anymore. And he goes, you know, I've got a lot of friends that are hurting. They're in gangs. They're doing stuff that they shouldn't be doing. They have rough home lives. Some of the young girls are pregnant or have children. Some of the guys are daddies without jobs. And he just kept going on. And he goes, Mr. Flynn. And he looked me dead straight in the eyes and he goes, we need you. Don't you quit on us. And I looked at him and I said, I won't. In the third lunch, I got in my car. I left school. I got in my car. I started driving down Slappy. And y'all going out of the school, I was like, yes, yes. I mean, I was fist pumping. I was so excited about what had happened. I got in my car and I started driving down Slappy. And I almost got to the railroad tracks and I was going to make a left-hand turn onto Gillianville. And I started crying. Because I started thinking about how I had blessed out God that morning. And how I had let him have it. Driving down Gillianville, it got to where I was uncontrollably crying. And I was having a hard time seeing. Because of the tears and the flowing down my face and the tears that were in my eyes. I made it home. I went upstairs in my office. I got down on my knees. And I asked God to forgive me. I said, God, I won't ever question or doubt you again. God is faithful. What's in your backyard? Pray with me. Lord, I thank you for sharing your word. I pray, God, that everyone in my sound of my voice will open their hearts and be obedient. To your leadership. And I pray, God, that they will never miss an opportunity to talk with others about you. For Christ's sake, amen.